I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
This is a podcast about the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. It contains moments of violence, profanity, and uncensored racism. It may not be suitable for all audiences.
When the McMichaels lit out after Ahmaud Arbery, it had been 1 year since Greg McMichael had retired after nearly a quarter of a century as chief investigator for the district attorney in Glenn County. Before that, he'd served 7 years as a Glenn County police officer. In spite of those decades in law enforcement, Greg McMichael, on that day, was doing something that in the final months of his career he had been ordered not to do. In February 2019, state authorities had stripped Greg McMichael of his powers of arrest. This is Buried Truths. I'm Hank Klibanoff.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
Greg McMichael had missed mandatory annual training. In fact, he was a serial offender. And the state suspended his certification as a peace officer. And without that certificate, a cop's not a cop. McMichael, without badge and gun, was transferred to Camden County, just south of Glenn County, to work at what was described as staff liaison with the various Camden County law enforcement agencies. He retired 4 months later in June 2019, less than a year before he chased Ahmaud Arbery. The same thing had happened back in 2014 when he was notified that he hadn't had the authority to arrest anyone since January 1st, 2006. That was 8 years before. 8 years. Now, if you're in law enforcement in Georgia, you're not allowed to wear the badge or carry the gun without certification as a peace officer. Peace officer, that's a centuries-old term that you don't hear much these days. After all, cops don't work at the peace department. Now, in Georgia, you can only get your peace officer certification from one place, the Peace Officer Standards and Training Council, known as POST. Now, in the second season of Buried Truths, about an unarmed black teenager named A.C. Hall, who was killed by Macon police in 1962, we focused on the non-existence of police training back then. You may remember that one noted sociologist, Arthur Raper, wrote this after studying 112 Southern police departments. Now keep in mind, this was back in the 1940s that he wrote this. He said, "Almost anyone outside the penitentiary who weighs enough and is not blind or crippled can be considered as a police candidate." That same year that A.C. Hall died, 1962, Georgia finally took steps to establish standards and open up a police academy. It took a while, but by 1966, the academy was in business. But what happens when police officers disregard the training opportunities? What if police officers skip school? That's exactly what Greg McMichael did. In all, McMichael failed to get the required training hours in 1997, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2009, 2010, and 2018, state records show. For at least 4 years, he skipped the required use of deadly force training. In 2018, the year for which he lost his certification, McMichael actually met most of his training requirements. He even took a new 5-hour course on the use of force and de-escalation. But he missed a mandatory 2-hour course on community policing. It covered cultural awareness, fostering positive relations with the community, and related topics, and is mandatory every year. So would Greg McMichael have behaved differently on the day Ahmad died if he'd had all the training he missed? That's hard to say. Now, remember Jim Barger, the St. Simon's attorney who was among the first in the community to question the Arbery killing? He believes McMichael put his whole neighborhood at risk that day.
If he had had that training, maybe he would have realized that, no, we can't go chase a man around a neighborhood. You know, the prosecutor aptly called it a hunt. But what people hadn't even discussed, even the people, defenders of the McMichaels, is, you know, how dangerous it would be to have a hunt inside of a neighborhood. You know, they chased that man all through that neighborhood, and they endangered the entire neighborhood in doing so, chasing their cars around, firing firearms, and right there along city streets. So it was recklessness on the grandest level. And it, of course, if he'd had the right training, he would have at least known.
Now, we've collected bits and pieces of Greg McMichael's pre-police life. We know, for example, that he did lose his father in a construction accident out of state when McMichael was 8 years old, and that he had an older brother who died when both of the boys were very young. We know, but we don't know why, that Greg McMichael spent 5 years in high school. The Brunswick High yearbook lists him as a senior in 1973, and then again in 1974. Using that same yearbook, my students at Emory University tried to track down some people who attended high school with him at the time.
Everybody's called me about him being in my class. Even people from down there was like, you remember Greg Michaels when you was? I was like, yeah, do I have to remember?
One student located Sheila Millage, a black woman who grew up in Brunswick, who now lives in New York State.
When we first went there, you know, they had just merged the black schools and white schools. And when I got there, he was in our class. He didn't favor people of color at all. And you just knew not to get into any confrontation or anything with him because he used the N-words all the time. Probably just the way he was brought up. I mean, that's the way we had to look at it.
Millage recalls that overall, race relations at the school were actually pretty good.
It was a mishap at school one time. And they had all Caucasians walking down one side and all people of color walking on the other side. But they couldn't keep us apart because we were friends.
But there were some other white students, she said, who, in her words, hated from afar.
McMichael was, he just didn't hang around, you know what I'm saying, when he did come to school. Because I think they might have went hunting all the time because he was always dressed in hunting gear, you know. That was the culture then. You know, they always went hunting, and he was always with a bandana tied around his head. He wasn't a happy guy.
McMichael obtained his high school diploma in 1974, but did not later pursue higher education, his personnel file shows. He joined the Navy. His file also indicates that he became a police officer in Glenn County in 1982. And in 1995, McMichael became an investigator for the district attorney's office. His performance evaluations were generally positive according to his personnel file. For example, in 2002, his evaluation says, goes out at night, etc., when the chips are down, to find people and gather information. Other entries say he got on well with coworkers, dressed appropriately for the job, and kept a messy office. The file also contains his explanation for why he missed all that training over the years.
Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at OurGeorgiaCoast.org.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
When McMichael had his certification suspended, you know, that was back in 2014, he had to apply for a waiver of training as part of his effort to get his certificate back. His application was headed Explanation of Training Deficit. Well, first, he said, a heart attack in 2006 left him with post-heart attack depression, rendering him unable to focus on important tasks like training. In 2007, he said, he had colon surgery after taking ill in October and was out for the rest of the year. In 2009, his medical bills and the cost of his wife's cancer treatment drove the couple into bankruptcy, he wrote. He added that he had a second heart attack in July of that year. He cited the stress of the job and problems at home. And then he went on to write, I feel humiliated that I allowed something as important as my certification to be put in jeopardy. The years 2006 to 2009 were a very difficult period in my life. I allowed the difficulty of my situation to cloud my judgment. Now, I want to tell you that cops in Georgia only have to log 20 hours of training every year. And many of those hours are online, and many are available at the Georgia Police Chiefs Summer Conference in Savannah. Now, McMichael's training records show that in 2014, when he was getting 1 hour and only 1 hour of training in use of deadly force, he was receiving, get this, 8 hours of training on understanding Islamist terrorism. And he picked up those 8 hours on December 31st, according to the Standards and Training Council records. And that was the last day he could get the course and qualify for that year. McMichael's boss during all of this was Jackie Johnson. Yes, that's DA number one, the same person who was in charge when the McMichaels and Brian went after Ahmaud Arbery. Jackie Johnson didn't fire McMichael when the Standards and Training Council yanked his credentials in 2014. She put him on desk duty, and she met with the Standards and Training Council to ask that it overlook McMichael's training lapses and recertify him. The council said, okay, and Greg McMichael was back in business. As part of that effort on his behalf, Jackie Johnson wrote a letter to the council on June 30, 2014. And here's what she wrote. This situation has been a great embarrassment to me and to Investigator McMichael. It has negatively impacted my office, and I have taken measures to ensure that this doesn't happen again. Well, it did, 4 years later. In 2018, McMichael came up short again on training, and the training council wouldn't let it go this time. It pulled Greg McMichael's certification February 1st, 2019. And still, Jackie Johnson didn't fire him. Instead, she transferred him one county away to a staff liaison position in Camden County. And when Jackie Johnson transferred Greg McMichael, here's how she explained it in another letter to the Standards and Training Council in 2019. Mr. McMichael will not engage in any activity that could be construed as law enforcement in nature. To that end, he will not carry a firearm or badge, nor will he operate any vehicle outfitted with lights, siren, or police radio equipment. District Attorney Johnson told the Standards and Training Council that McMichael would be retiring on June 1, 2019. His final performance review, issued on May 31st and signed by Johnson, gave him a perfect rating. 5 out of 5 in every category. Substantially exceeds expectations. The box where it says retirement is checked. And so is the box that says, recommended for rehire. One person who's not surprised and not at all happy about this kind of cozy, coddling treatment for Greg McMichael is Reverend John Perry. He's president of the Brunswick chapter of the NAACP, as well as a candidate for mayor. And what he sees is a club, a private club of people, and these are going to be white people, just protecting themselves and each other, even when they're accused, maybe even especially when they're accused, of profiling and harassing and killing those outside the club.
The privilege of relationship played a part in this. Because the McMichaels had connection with law enforcement and because they had a relationship with the DA, they used their relationship of privilege to manipulate the whole system. And so on one end, you had people, because they knew the McMichaels, they were willing to take their word without performing a thorough investigation themselves. But on the other end, on the extreme end, you had people, because they knew the McMichaels and had relationship with them, they were willing to play a part in trying to cover up the wrong of the McMichaels.
Since McMichael was allowed to retire, he was able to start collecting a pension for his 31 years of service in law enforcement. A human resources official in Glenn County told us that McMichael was earning $60,000 a year when he retired. He now receives a monthly pension payment from the county of $2,495. The payments are continuing even as he sits in jail charged with murder. And they will end if he is convicted of a serious crime. Remember, in Georgia, the district attorney is a local elected official with enormous power. She decides who will be prosecuted for serious crimes, even if the case seems weak. And she decides who won't be prosecuted, even if the case seems strong. That power is such that, in court, the DA is known simply as the state. Think about that, the authority, the resources, the sheer might of the state versus some lone criminal defendant. After more than 30 years in law enforcement, Greg McMichael is now that defendant, a man staring up at the state, that formidable legal machine of which he once was a part. He's represented by a husband-wife team of defense attorneys, Franklin and Laura Hoag from Macon. Here's Franklin Hoag on the Macon TV station WMAZ. It was May 15th, 2020, just days after he and his wife took the case.
This is not just another act of violent racism. Greg McMichael did not commit murder. Greg McMichael is not a party to the crime of murder. This is not some sort of hate crime fueled by racism.
So defense attorney Hoag has noted, McMichael is charged with being a party to the crimes his son is accused of committing. But Georgia law makes no distinction between the person who commits the crime and a person who is party to it. Listen to this, because the state law is pretty clear. Every person concerned in the commission of a crime is a party thereto and may be charged with and convicted of commission of the crime. And that's how Greg McMichael finds himself accused of murder, even though he didn't fire a shot. Now, if you'll recall, he's the one who spotted Ahmad that day, and he's the one who told his son to arm up, jump in the truck, and chase after the jogger. The supreme irony for Greg McMichael, of course, is that he helped the DA put people in jail for more than 24 years. And now he has a cell of his own. It'll be temporary if he's acquitted at trial, or he may be there for the rest of his life.
Coming up on the next episode of Buried Truths.
There's a tension that we carry sometimes as Black folks, and a lot of folks be like, why are you being so tense? Why are you being so anxious? It's because of shit like this, man. He was going for a jog.
I didn't come all the way from Atlanta to just say, let's sing We Shall Overcome.
Buried Truths is produced by WABE Atlanta. Our senior producer is David Baraswain, writing by Hank Klibanoff and Richard Hallix. Our executive producers are J.N. Berry and John Hawes. Special thanks to Scott Wolfel, Stephen Key, Alita McCalman, Kendall Foote, and Raphael Fetrot. Hank Klibanoff is a former newspaper reporter and editor and co-author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Race Beat. He's also a professor at Emory University, where he directs the Georgia Civil Rights Cold Cases Project. We want to extend a special thanks to the Emory students who helped with this season of Buried Truths. Jake Bush, Hannah Cherick, Jordan Flowers, Cameron Katz, and Sage Mason spent the summer of 2020 investigating the Ahmaud Arbery case. Thanks also to student Rowan Thomas, whose earlier research contributed to this season. Visit buriedtruths.org to find lesson plans based on prior seasons of the podcast and discussion questions for your next podcast club. You can also sign up for our newsletter, and that's where you can support Buried Truths by making a donation. Again, that's at buriedtruths.org. On social, we're at Buried Truths Pod. Please look us up and follow us. And if you haven't already, take a moment to rate the show on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It'll help more people find this important podcast. Thank you for listening to Buried Truths.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you donated to WABE yet? I know you've heard us talking about why it's important, but it doesn't have to be this big decision. You can give at whatever amount fits your budget. It can be a spur-of-the-moment thing. You already get so much out of public radio, so just go for it. Visit wabe.org/donate and become a member right now. And thank you.